Now, do you remember the meetings this week? No meeting tomorrow night. If you come tomorrow night, you'll get a closed door. No meeting tomorrow night, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, our brother Scott is going to be here speaking on the book of the Revelation, and each and every one is invited to those meetings. Now, just a note of thanks. I think I'm speaking on behalf of all the visitors here tonight. We'd like to thank the saints here for opening their hearts and also for opening their homes. So we'd just like to say a thank you. I'm going to read tonight in one of those books that's very difficult to find, the book of Jonah. So find Daniel, then Hosea, then Joel, then Obadiah, then come to Daniel. They come to Jonah. The book of Jonah, and we're going to read from verse 5. Jonah 1 and verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmasters came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil come upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Now, just down the chapter, thinking of that verse in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. I think we'll all agree that the book of Jonah is a most interesting book. If I had to take Jonah up in the four chapters, I would say this. Chapter 1, Jonah is marked by disobedience. Chapter 2, it's Jonah's deliverance. Chapter 3, it's Jonah's dedication. And in chapter 4, it's Jonah's disappointment or discouragement. And that's how I notice the book of Jonah. But I'm going to speak on Jonah tonight in two different ways. I'm going to think of Jonah tonight as a type of Adam, and then I'm going to think of Jonah tonight as the Bible says he's a type of Christ. So we're going to speak on Jonah as a type of Adam, and then Jonah as a type of Christ. I'm one who loves questions in the Bible. You know, the Bible is full of questions. And generally speaking, not always, but every Bible question has a Bible answer. Now, let's think of some questions in the Bible before we come to this chapter. What's one of the first questions in the Bible? Your mind goes to Genesis chapter 3. Adam, where art thou? Now, what does that question bring to your mind? Simply this. You know, God seeking man. Adam, where art thou? When I come to the New Testament, the first question asked in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 2. You remember the shepherd said this, "Where is he?" So the first question in the Bible tells me God is seeking man. The first question in the New Testament tells me this, that man is seeking God. Now you mark my words. God tonight is still seeking men. I wonder tonight, are men seeking God? So I want to come to Jonah chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to consider some of the questions that we have read tonight from Jonah chapter 1. The first question that's asked is this: why is this evil come upon us? Now you and I tonight know. The answer to that question is this: because of one man's disobedience, as seen in Jonah, this evil had come upon those mariners. I want you to mark my words tonight and get two things from the book of Jonah. There's a company of people perishing in Jonah chapter 1. They're perishing because of one man's disobedience. There's a company of people perishing in Jonah chapter 3. And they're perishing because of their own sin. You mark my words. You won't perish simply because Jonah disobeyed. You'll perish because of your own sin. So what I want to consider tonight is this. What does it mean to perish? I've chosen three things tonight. It means darkness. It means destruction. And it means death. And I'm going to prove that tonight from the Bible. Friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're not saved, born again, you heard it last evening, tonight you are perishing. Now, first of all, it means darkness. Listen to a verse in Proverbs chapter 4. The path of the just is as a shining light, which shineth more and more continually unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as a darkness, and they know not what they stumble. And if I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. It's going to be outer darkness. Cast him out into outer darkness. There's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. It means darkness. And it means outer darkness. And there's a verse in the book of Jude. The blackness of darkness, and it's forever and ever. So tonight, young friend, older friend, tonight in the meeting, you're perishing, and it means darkness. But you know, if I read my Bible correctly, it means destruction. Listen to three verses from the Bible. There is a way, and it's a broad way, and it's a wide gate, and it leadeth to destruction. My Bible talks about sudden destruction, and my Bible talks about eternal destruction. And tonight, if you're still in your sin, you're facing darkness, and you're facing destruction. Sudden destruction, eternal destruction. It's what the Bible says the sinner who is perishing in their sin. But you know, tonight, friend, not only does it mean darkness, not only does it mean destruction, but it means death. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no part. So remember tonight, friend, you're perishing. You're facing darkness. You're facing destruction, and you're facing the second death. And the question is asked, why is this evil come upon us? But then I come to my second question. What is thine occupation? I want to ask each individual tonight, what is your occupation? In other words tonight, who are you working for? Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. I was serving Satan well, and in sin did far excel. I would soon have been in hell, I believe it. But the Saviour, he drew near, and he stopped my wild career, for his gospel banished fear, I believe it. The question tonight I want you to face is this. What is your occupation? Are you working tonight for the devil, or are you working tonight for the Lord? What is your occupation? I want to come to my third question tonight very quickly. Whence comest thou? You know, I look back 63 years. You know, that's when I came. 63 years ago, I came. Whence comest thou? I want to speak about the word come tonight. My brethren kind of spoiled my sermon today. Who says come? Well, you know, God says come. What's one of the first invitations in the Bible? Listen to it. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. God says come. You know, Christ says come. Matthew 11 and 28 says this. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So remember, God says come. And remember, Christ says come. And you know, I come to Revelation 22. And the Spirit says come. The Spirit and the Bride, they say come. And you know, I've a hymn to prove it. Oh, come to Christ, oh, come today. The Father, Son, the Spirit say, and the Bride repeats the call. God says to Noah, come for refuge. Christ says, come for rest. And the Spirit says, come for refreshment. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. So notice who says come. But the question I want to face tonight is this. When have I to come? I remember being in Newfoundland in Corner Brook. I was insuring my car. I went into an office with a lady and she had a thing on her desk and seemed to stick with me. It said something like this. Do the right thing. Do it the right way and do it right now. You know what God is saying to you tonight? God is saying to you tonight, do the right thing. And he's saying, do it the right way. And he's saying, do it right now. Before coming to this meeting tonight, I was sitting out in my van, and three men came to my mind. I'll tell you the three men. I thought about Cain. And I thought about Naaman, and I thought about Felix. You know, when I thought about Cain, I noticed that Cain had a way of his own. You remember what the Bible says about Cain? Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. You know, Cain had a way of his own. And then I thought about Naaman. You know, Naaman had a place of his own. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus? Are they not all better than the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And you know Naaman had a place of his own. And then my mind went to Felix. You know Felix had a time of his own. Listen tonight to the words of Felix. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, I've come tonight to tell you this. God has a way. And God has a place. And God has a time. Listen tonight to God's way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has a way. You know, God has a place. And God's place tonight is Calvary. God tells me how I may be saved. He points to something done, accomplished on Mount Calvary by his beloved Son, in which no works of mine has place, for grace with works is no more grace. But remember, God has a time. And God's time is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My last question tonight before I get down. What country art thou? You know, it's either heaven or it's hell. I only heard the late Albert Joyce preach the gospel once. It would be 1966, Toronto Conference at Easter time. I heard Mr. Albert Joyce preach the gospel once, and he said two things I never forgot. One thing he said that night was this: you might drift into hell, but you'll never drift into heaven. You might drift into hell, but you'll never drift into heaven. Another thing he said that night was this: you won't be in heaven by chance. You'll be in heaven by choice. And you'll not be in hell by chance. You'll be in hell by choice. And before you go through that door tonight, you're going to make a choice. Two ways before us lie, and each a choice must make. One which leads upward to the sky, one downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each must answer yes or no.